Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. Hope your draft season is going amazing. Hope your Friday is starting off great, and hopefully your weekend is going to be incredible. Thank you so much for joining me today. We're going to talk some fun draft stuff today, but before we get there, a couple pieces of business to attend to. New members, Joseph Strapko and somebody who just goes as Kyle. Thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. We are 15 followers, or I should say subscribers, away from 300 members on our Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube channel. So check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast memberships. Now is the best time. Tons of draft stuff coming up. We're going to do members only stuff right around the draft. So you're not going to want to miss that. Only 15 away from 300 members. Thank you to the 285 of you who have already signed up and given such incredible feedback. Appreciate you guys a ton. Only one piece of news from Thursday, and that is that a all-time great Green Bay Packer, I'm just going to call him a Packer. He didn't wear a helmet, but he was an all-time great member of the organization. Red Batty, officially retired. This is somebody who literally and figuratively carried the G to its fullest extent. Nobody, and I mean nobody, ever had a single negative thing ever to say about Red Batty. When you talk about somebody who goes about their business, does their job to the highest level imaginable, and is just that person that you always want to work with, that is Red Batty. And this should be a no-brainer first ballot Packers Hall of Famer. I don't think you put him in this year because you've already got your people that are assigned for this season, but next year he should be in the Packers Hall of Fame. He should probably have like his own, his own wing sounds probably ridiculous, but like that's the type of dude that this guy was. And just everyone adored him within that organization. Unbelievable career. I'm so happy that he gets to retire and go out now and kind of, I know he's a big hockey fan, but just a really cool thing that he's retiring. Obviously, he'll be missed by a lot of people within that organization. I'd never worked with Red specifically. Obviously, from covering the team on the sidelines, always saw him doing such incredible work and admired his work from afar. But really, really cool that he gets to retire, go out on his own terms, and do whatever he wants to do moving forward. But a big loss for the organization, and congratulations to Red Batty for such an incredible career. And like I said, zero doubt about it, should be first ballot Packers Hall of Famer and in there sooner rather than later. So that brings us to today's topic. And we've been doing some individual breakdowns player by player. What I wanted to do today is to go over three corners. And we're going to go over them in a variety of different ways. But these are, in my opinion, along with Cooper DeJean, who we already have covered. If you want to go and watch the DeJean episode, you can do so. These are the other three corners that are at the top of the draft in some capacity. Where they go, if any of them are available at 25, only time will tell. A couple of them, probably not. But we'll go over all of that today. But I think in order to get to that point, we need to set the table a little bit at corner. And what I mean by that is, we have to define this current cornerback position. I did this a little bit in the DeJean episode as well. But in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I believe that corner is not only a current need, but is a long-term need as well. And we know that Green Bay is willing to take premium players and develop them, even if they're not going to be able to come in and contribute from day one. And let me be crystal clear. I don't necessarily think that that's the case with any of these corners I'm going to talk about today. I think all of them would be able to come in and contribute from day one. But even if you go into this season and your primary corners are Valentine and Stokes and Nixon and Jair, and they all play great and you don't need your rookie corner, that is not going to disrupt Green Bay from taking a high-level player at a premium position if they think he's going to be a long-term starter at that premium spot. Meaning Eric Stokes is a free agent next year. Corey Ballantyne's a free agent next year. Theoretically and technically, you would have the ability to get out of Jair's contract. It's probably not ideal, but you would save some money by doing so. So there are some things here in play where I do think that it is a long-term need for Green Bay, where you need to continue to develop young players at this position. But I also very much believe that it is something that you should address right now and try to get better at and try to get more competition with. Let's break down this corner class. And again, I know some of you listened to this in the DeJean episode, so I'm not going to try to spend too much more time on it here. But Jair is coming off some injury seasons, a suspension last year, and really about a season and a half of play that hasn't been up to normal Jair standards. I am hopeful, and you are hopeful, and we are all hopeful that Jair is going to bounce back in a real way, that he is going to take to this Jeff Hafley defense, and All-Pro Jair is going to walk into 2024 and 2025 as the best version of Jair that we've seen yet. We are all hopeful of that, but injury issues and just in his overall play have not quite made him the same player as of late. So I do think you at least have to have that in the back of your mind where, hey, let's see what this version of Jair is in this Jeff Hafley defense in this new season after the suspension from a year ago. It was one game, no harm, no foul. It seems like everyone's moved on and bounced back, but you at least have to have that a little bit in the back of your mind. Even if you put that to the side, Jair is great, All-Pro corner, everything's good. The position still is in need of more competition, better depth, and in my opinion, just better players. Eric Stokes, let's talk about him next. Stokes was solid to even, I would say, good as a rookie. I do think that we give a little bit more accident forgiveness to players in their rookie season, understandably so, we should, but it's about the only time in the NFL that we give anyone any level of accident forgiveness. After that, once year two starts, all bets are off. And this happened with Demaryius Randle, happened with Quentin Rollins, happened with Josh Jackson, happened with Eric Stokes, where we see them their rookie season and things are kind of going okay. You see some of the negatives, but you're willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that by the time year two starts, everything is going to get better and some of those negatives will be removed and positives will only continue to go up and you're going to end up with a more well-rounded player. And sometimes that happens. But in those scenarios and situations, it did not. Quentin Rollins got worse. Demaryius Randle got worse. Eric Stokes got worse. Josh Jackson got worse. There is no guarantee that some of these players get better. And with Eric Stokes, and we'll talk about Valentine in this realm as well, but with Eric Stokes, he had a nice rookie season, but year two, even prior to any injuries, he came back and he looked like, I'll just say not himself if I'm being kind. He didn't look anything like the player he was as a rookie. He took a significant step backwards, then had all of the injury issues, comes back next year, aggravates it on multiple occasions, has two games where he plays a defense and did not look like himself. Some of that might've just been rust, understandably so with all the time he had off, but he did not look like the corner he was as a rookie still. Now you're going into year four. You have 1 year of pretty good play as a starting corner, as a rookie, and then bad corner /injured/injured and bad. And now you're in year four. And you don't know still if this is going to be a corner in Eric Stokes, a 4-3 40 guy, or if he is going to be somebody that just is never the same. Carrington Valentine, same thing I just talked about. He had I would say, slightly below average, like take the rookie thing aside. If you're just grading him as a starting corner in the NFL, I would say he's a slightly below average corner this past season. As a rookie seventh round pick, that's amazing. That is really good ROI. And you have faith that he's going to get better and take that jump and be a really good starter in the NFL. But as we said, it didn't happen that way for Demaryius Randle, Quentin Rollins, Josh Jackson, Eric Stokes, Ladarius Gunter, and we can go on. Just because they showed signs their rookie year does not mean that automatically equates to getting better in year two. And a lot of those guys, like we talked about, actually got worse. So if you have Jair even being Jair, but Stokes never gets back and regains form, and Carrington Valentine has the similar experience that we've seen with a lot of these Packer corners in the past, unfortunately, now you don't have that real great starter that you feel super comfortable with opposite Jair. And that's even if Jair is back to normal. So there, to me, are still far too many question marks at this position. Even in the slot, Keyshawn Nixon, they gave him that deal. That's great. But you would still love a better pure cover corner at that spot, at least if nothing else on obvious passing downs. There is plenty of opportunity for competition, depth, and improvement on the roster in 2024 to make this Jeff Hafley system work, while also knowing that even if everything goes swimmingly and Jair is back and Stokes is back and Valentine takes a step and Nixon is good in the slot, you still go into next season with Stokes being a free agent and you can always use more cover guys in the NFL. There's always going to be injuries. There's always going to be talented wide receivers. You need those guys and you can never have enough. So I'm wholeheartedly on board with this is still a need in the short term and in the long term. So with that table set, And with, I think, a lot of people in agreement that corner is still a position that Green Bay can attack aggressively, let's attack it aggressively. So we're going to talk about three corners today. Terrion Arnold, who is the consensus number 11 player right now on the consensus big board. Quinyon Mitchell. Thank you, autocorrect on my notes here. Quinyon Mitchell, consensus number 12 player in the NFL draft right now on the consensus big board. And Nate Wiggins, the 22nd player on the consensus big board. So the 11th, 12th, and 22nd players. Remember, Green Bay has pick 25. We already discussed Cooper DeJean, so if you want to check out that episode, you absolutely can. But Green Bay picks at 25, and those are the four corners, including DeJean, along with Wiggins, Mitchell, and Arnold, that are expected to go early in that range. We also already went over Kool-Aid McKinstry, if you want to check out that episode as well. The one that I feel a lot more confident will be there at pick 25 for Green Bay. So with this in mind, if they're going to get one of these players, specifically a Quinyon Mitchell or a Terrion Arnold, in all likelihood, they are going to have to trade up in order to do so. Football season is over. College basketball season is over. The NBA and NHL regular seasons are almost over. But guess what? We are still in a wonderful sports time of year with the start of a new baseball season already kicked off and NHL and NBA playoffs right around the corner. And what better way to get hyped for playoff hoops in hockey than by signing up for Prize Picks and getting in on the excitement with America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the place where you can use your knowledge to take $10 and turn it into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball entries today. That's 100 times your money with as few as four correct picks. And here's something I haven't even mentioned yet. You can play against some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill or Sugar Shane O'Malley. Just go to Community Plays under the Promos tab to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community. And one of my favorite aspects of Prize Picks, too, is injury insurance. Your entries will stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For example, let's say you have a basketball player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second half. That player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry still stays alive. This week, I'm going NBA heavy. I'm looking for a Bucks bounce back with Giannis, a fiery Kevin Durant to end the season, and Luka Doncic going scorched earth as they try to secure a better seed. Listen, I'm having a blast with Prize Picks, and you should be too. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. I've talked about this a little bit before. I know I talked about it in the members Q&A just yesterday, but I'll go over it here once again. If you told me that Green Bay traded up in the draft, there to me are only two players that make sense from a real logical standpoint that Green Bay would be trading up for. Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell. Those are the only two that I can really logically jump to say, yep, I can understand. Not a quarterback. There's no running backs that you're trading up for. There's no running backs that are going to go round one. They're not trading up for a wide receiver with the level of talent that they have. They don't even draft wide receivers in the first round, much less go up and trade for one when they finally have a stacked wide receiver position. So that's not happening. They're not moving up for Brock Bowers when you have Musgrave and Kraft. Offensive line is interesting. I don't think there's that 1A perfect player that they would go up for. And the other thing you have to remember is if they were really interested in an offensive lineman, this is a really deep offensive lineman draft, and there likely is going to be a very good one available for them at 25. So the odds they need to go up and get one are probably pretty slim. Defensive line or interior defensive tackle, whatever you want to look at it as, that is a maybe when it comes to Byron Murphy. There could be a situation there. That would be the only other one I could even fathom. I still don't necessarily see that. I don't think they necessarily need to move up for a defensive tackle at this point in time. And if you sort of look at where he's at, I think he probably goes before the point where Green Bay can even get in that conversation of trading up anyway. So that one to me does not make a ton of sense. No other defensive lineman makes sense to trade up for in this draft. The edge rushers, I don't think they're going to pass Latu and like give additional resources with the neck issues that he's had. Dallas Turner going to be gone before they get to a point of trading up. Maybe a Jared Verse, but with them picking Lucas Van Ness as of late, I don't think he, they would go up and get him with Gary under a big contract, Lucas Van Ness, Preston under contract, and Igbari coming back from injury. It doesn't seem like it would be in the cards to trade up aggressively for an edge player, a defensive end, whatever you want to view it as. off-ball linebacker, they probably can get whatever one they want at pick 25, so don't see that. Safety, same thing. There's no safeties that are going to go before pick 25, so no need to trade up. So that only leaves corner. And I think McKinstry's there. I don't think they move up for DeJean, which leaves, by process of elimination, only two players. And that is, once again, Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold. If you told me today, on April 12th, as this is getting aired to the universe, that the Packers moved up in a trade, I would be pretty shocked if it wasn't for one of those two players. As we just went through, there's not a ton of other players that make sense. Maybe there's an offensive lineman they fall in love with. Maybe Byron Murphy the second. That's the only other situation or scenario, but I think it's far more likely that it's one of those two corners. As we talked about, corner a need now and in the future, and I think that you can grab somebody that can come in and help this team right now. Let's start here with Nate Wiggins, and we'll talk about, are these Packer fits or not? Nate, all of these, of course, are premium position players. They're all outside corners, so they fit that premium position threshold. Wiggins has a 9.44 relative athletic score. However, as we see more and more of, no bench press and no agility testing, so it's a very incomplete relative athletic score. Either way, he's extremely athletic, and I think he would pass all of their overall athletic metrics. Is he from a Power 5 conference? Yes. And does he have the age thing? Yes. He's 20 years old right now. He turns 21 in August. So when they draft him, this is very Kenny Clark-ish. He would not even be able to drink yet. And we will make jokes in his ninth year in the league of how he's just turning 22 finally and so on and so forth. But very, very young for Nate Wiggins. As far as the cornerback specific traits that Green Bay likes, as far as the 7 or under 3 cone, it's an unknown. He didn't do testing. I'm willing to bet that he would have easily passed that with how he plays as a corner. Don't think there's a concern there. 4.6, 40, yeah, he ran a 4.28. He hits that. 5.11 or taller, yes. He's 106, or sorry, he's 6'1", excuse me. This is the one I was trying to get to. The 190 pounds is basically Green Bay's cutoff for corners that they draft. He's 173 pounds. A bottom 1% weight for the cornerback position. And it's not like this is a compact, like 5'9", 173. He's 6'1". He's over 6'1", and 173. This would be the lightest corner on the Packers roster by far. Their lightest corner is the guy they just picked up. Gemmon Green, who's 183 pounds. And they're just taking a flyer on him as a guy that's out there. And we'll see if he even gets to training camp or not. And he's 10 pounds heavier than Nate Wiggins. Everyone else, 196 pounds, 196 pounds, 193, 205, 200, 193, 194, 189. It's not even in the same stratosphere. This is not the type of player that Green Bay generally goes for. It would be well outside of their thresholds from a weight standpoint. Goody has talked about still liking physical players on the outside. It's in the Ron Wolf, the Packers way about wanting those bigger corners, especially in winter. I do not see Nate Wiggins as a Packer specifically due to that one characteristic. We do know that they are willing to go outside of their thresholds, usually on one thing. This would be so outside of it, though, that I just think it's probably not going to happen. If you're looking for any sign that maybe Green Bay is willing to go a little bit lower on that, I guess it's somewhat good news that their first cornerback signee, their new player on the roster in the Jeff Hafley era, is Gemmon Green, who is 183 pounds, which is... at least 6 pounds less than anyone else on the roster. So maybe it's a sign, but I just don't see it. So for that reason, don't think Wiggins is in play. I will say this. I really like Wiggins. Just really quick, some pros. Closest to the ball at an insane speed. That 4.28 really shows up. Can play outside. I think he can play in the slot as well. Projects as someone who can play zone or man. I think he's slightly better as an off corner right now, but he should be fine in either, you know, style. Speed, fluidity, height, length to play at any coverage and succeed. He's got a lot of traits really going in his favor outside of that weight. He tackles well in the passing game. We'll talk about the other side in just a second. He's a very instinctive player. I think he could become a playmaker with a lot of INTs with his speed and his instincts. And he, of course, has that elite recovery speed. On the downside, his run defense is abysmal. It is awful. It is bad, bad. Don't watch him in run defense. It's not pretty. Another reason why I don't think he's going to be Green Bay's cup of tea. He needs to do a better job of getting his head turned on deep balls. He can get a little bit grabby. And in general, he needs to be a little bit more physical. As you can imagine, a 6'1", 173 pound player is going to have a little bit of issue with physicality. That's definitely something that shows up as well. My final verdict here, not a Packer unless their cornerback thresholds have completely changed and they're willing to go with an extremely light, non-run defending corner. Does not feel like they'll go in that direction. But like I said, I do really, really like Wiggins. Just don't think it's probably in the cards unless he's actually going to the cards. Quinyon Mitchell, of course, premium position, outside corner, 979 relative athletic score. No agility testing. He did do the bench press, but no agility testing here. Did not come from a Power 5 conference, so that he has going against him. I don't think that's going to limit Green Bay. They took Jordan Love. I don't think they're going to say, wow, this is a great prospect. He's got everything we look for, but you know what? Just not a Power Conference guy, so we're going to pass. I don't think that's going to play a part. He is currently 22 years old, although he does turn 23 in July. For the cornerback specific thresholds, for the 7.003 cone, or 7 second or under three cone, that is unknown. Again, he did not do the testing there. The 4.6 40 time, he ran a 4.33, so easily checks that box. 5'11 or higher, yes, he's 6 feet tall. 190 or higher in weight, yes, he's 195. So he hits everything there, just again, unknown is the three cone, which he did not do the agility testing. So the question marks as to whether or not Green Bay would be interested. Smaller school and unknown three cone. Other than that, he hits everything they look for and is very much a Packers type player. PFF grades, I didn't go through everything for Wiggins just because I don't think he's probably in play. I just wanted to give you a general breakdown, but we'll go a little bit more in depth here with Quinyon Mitchell. In 2020, he played 46 snaps with a 59.6 grade. 2021, he played 588 snaps with a 79.7 grade. 2022, 883 snaps with a 92.5 grade. And in 2023, he played 781 snaps with a 91.5 grade. So some big time grades these past 2 years for Mitchell. In 2023, he was targeted 62 times, only 27 completions allowed on 62 attempts, 43.5% completion percentage, 290 yards, no touchdowns, one pick, 14 pass breakups, zero penalties, and a quarterback rating of 51.1. If you think that was good, let's go back to 2022. Targeted 70 times, only 27 completions allowed, 38.6% completion percentage, 270 yards on 70 attempts. They threw at him 70 times and only gave up 270 yards. That is unbelievable. He did give up 3 touchdowns that season, but had 5 interceptions, 13 pass breakups, did have 3 penalties that year. Oh my goodness, 3 in 2 years. A 34.8 quarterback rating, 34.8 on his career, thrown at 188 times, 84 completions, 44.7% completion percentage, only 897 yards in 4 seasons, 5 touchdowns, 6 picks, 32 pass breakups, only 6 penalties, and a 54.8 quarterback rating. Unbelievable numbers for Mitchell in college as a cover corner. His strengths, he is an unbelievable athlete. He is smooth, he is fast, he closes well, he's tall, he's well-built. He's got everything that you're looking for as a premium corner in the NFL. That closing speed is elite, and he plays extremely fast from off coverage. So he will be well off in coverage, and it looks like you've got an easy complete. Nope, he's on it immediately. He's got elite recovery speed. I know we're talking about speed here, but I've talked about players in the past where I think we were talking about Cooper DeJean, who going forward, he has the closing speed, but going backwards as he's trying to catch back up, that wasn't quite the same. With Mitchell, it checks all the boxes. The speed in general looks amazing. The speed coming forward looks amazing. The speed going backward looks amazing. It is all speed all the time. He once picked off 4 passes in 1 game and took 2 of them to the house for touchdowns. He does not commit penalties, as we talked about. 0 penalties this past season, only 3 the year before that, and only 6 in his career. 444 career snaps at special teams, so some versatility there. And he played in every game the past 3 seasons. So much to like about Mitchell. His weaknesses, he did play mostly and primarily off coverage. Did not play a ton of press coverage at all. In fact, it was very rare that you saw him in any sort of press coverage. The projection there should be fine, but it is a projection. Bit of a hitch in his turn. So we talk about that change of direction ability and maybe why he didn't do the 3 cone or the short shuttle. There was just a little bit of a hitch in his turn. He is a little bit taller. He's a little bit twitched. I should say, just muscly. So sometimes that can lead to a little bit more of a slower sort of non-oily hip type player. You see a little bit of that. He's so freaking athletic that it's not a huge issue, but it does show up a little bit on tape. I do think he needs to, as every single corner does, and specifically a small school corner, he needs to become a little bit more technically proficient overall at the position, and he is purely an outside corner. This is not a slot guy. This is going to be somebody that's going to live on the outside. So if you're looking for that versatility, you're not going to get it with Mitchell. You are going to play him on the outside all day, every day. As far as a fit, he has played that more off coverage. He might need to take a little bit of time making that transition to potentially playing a little bit more closer to the line of scrimmage and playing a little bit more press coverage. As I mentioned, I think the transition from the small school, going from the small school to the NFL, is going to be something that could take a little bit of time as well. And again, just not having that slot versatility could affect their thoughts of maybe moving up a little bit. But overall, listen, he is everything that the Packers look for at corner. Again, you would love to see the short shuttle. You'd love to see, or the three cone and the agility testing. You would have loved to have seen maybe him play at a higher level school, but he played against Marvin Harrison. Like, he played against some good competition over his time. I just think there's going to be maybe a little bit of a learning curve there, but this is a very much, you know, sort of 1A tier Packer, you know, in every single draft. And I think they're going to be very high on Quinyon Mitchell. I think the big question is, how high can they get? Mitchell is a picture perfect fit for the Colts at pick 15 as like a floor. He could go before that, but the Colts are in desperate need of corners. They might be and are probably the only team that loves high-end, ridiculous athletes more than Green Bay. They take athletes at an even higher level than Green Bay, which it seems impossible, but the Colts do. So you're looking at a premium position, high-end athlete at a huge position of need. Quinyon Mitchell screams off the page for the Colts. I think it's going to be tough for Green Bay to get ahead of 15 in Indianapolis based on their draft capital and based on what Goody does in the draft. And I don't think he gets past 15. So it's a little less likely with Quinyon Mitchell, but if they fall in love, you never quite know, and they do have the ammunition to go up and get him. And that brings us to Terrion Arnold. Of course, again, premium position player, 9.27 relative athletic score. He did do the agility testing. He did not do the bench press, but he has everything else besides the bench press with a 9.27 relative athletic score. Of course, is from a Power 5 conference, coming from Alabama, just turned 21 years old as well. So he is also very young. Cornerback specific traits, he hits the three cone with a 6.69, hits the 40 time with a 4.5. Hits the size threshold. They want 5'11". He's 5'11 and a half. And the weight threshold is 190 plus. He is 189. So unfortunately, he cannot be a Green Bay Packer. Joking, of course, it's 1 pound off. He is going to hit everything that they look for. This is the one guy in this draft, in my opinion, that hits everything. Everything. This is the most ultimate Packer in the first round. The issue, of course, is that he's an ultimate every team player for the most part in the first round. And having him get to 25 is a probable near impossibility. But he hits everything. He hits all of their positions that they are the traits that they look for at the corner position. And he hits everything they look for a first round player. Everything, everything, everything. He's the guy. There's nobody else. And it's a need both now and in the future. It's the guy. There's nobody else. I'm dead serious. Like, this is the most Packer in this draft. It's just, he's probably gone, right? But let's talk about that. So let's go over his profile first. PFF, in 2022, he played 549 snaps with a 73.1 grade. In 2023, 840 snaps with an 88.4 grade. They gave him a 90.6 run defense grade. 90.6 in run defense. That doesn't happen for anyone at corner. That tells you the type of mentality he has at that position. In 2022, he was targeted 52 times, only 28 completions, a 53.8 percentage or completion percentage against him, 383 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 7 pass breakups, did have 4 penalties, an 82.5 passer rating allowed. In 2023, 41 of 79 against him, 51.9% completion percentage, 441 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 5 pass breakups, 3 penalties, a 50.7 quarterback rating. Fantastic year for Arnold this past year. In his career, targeted 131 times, 69 completions, 52.7% completion percentage, 824 yards, 4 touchdowns, 6 picks, 12 pass breakups, 7 penalties, and a 63.3 passer rating, I should say. His strengths, he is extremely fluid in his hips, with unbelievable change of direction, very twitchy, and moves so easily. If you want to talk about somebody who has that Jair ability to just kind of change directions and just so smoothly move with players, he doesn't have Jair's top end speed. He's a 4-5 guy, Jair much faster, but that agility, that change of direction, the fluid hips, all of it, that's what Terry Arnold has very much going for him. And that's why he's able to stick with players in coverage and even in man coverage and just kind of move alongside of them. Add that to his awareness and route recognition, and you end up with a corner who is very tough to get open against. He can play outside and in the slot, which is super beneficial, especially for Green Bay, and just another reason why he's a perfect fit here for Green Bay. He can play in every coverage type: man, press man, off man, zone, cover three, cover two, cover four, does not matter. He fits in every style of defense. He can come up and tackle really well. He can play you close to the line. He doesn't use his hands to jam. That's not his game. If you're looking for somebody who's going to be that like Richard Sherman mauling you at the line, or just a physical corner mauling you at the line, that's not him, but he can go up on the line and play man-to-man, and he's just so fluid, he's just going to stick with you. He doesn't need to jam you. He's just going to like stay on your hip and then break up the pass. So that's more of his game. That's the one thing that he probably needs to work on a little bit from a like how he can play standpoint, but he's still a perfect fit for Jeff Hafley's defense. Again, just turned 21, super, super young. As I mentioned, some Jair Alexander to his game. He challenges everything, does a nice job of not only locating, but dislodging the football in coverage. He's not afraid to get after it as a tackler, as evidenced by his run defense grade from PFF. He has that corner mentality. He is not afraid of anything. He is not going to let anything bother him. This is a player, I talk about this at corner more than any other position. I want corners who you watch on the field and look like they were born to play corner. This is a dude that is born to play corner, and you love watching him play because he just has that mentality, that swagger, that coverage ability, the ability to stick with pretty much anyone. It's just really fun to watch. And then, like I said, he had 5 interceptions, so he has that playmaking ability as well and the ball skills that go along with it. His weaknesses, a 4.5 40. It's not bad. It's fine. It's good. It's just not elite. If you're looking for somebody with that elite speed who can maybe stay with somebody down the field a little bit more, Arnold does not have that. He makes up for it with awareness, recognition, and again, the ability to stick with wide receivers. Because listen, there is a benefit, right? If you've got those fluid hips and you're playing up closer to the line of scrimmage, a player who runs a 4.3 40, but it takes forever to turn and run with the receiver is probably worse off than a guy who runs a 4.5 40, but can flip his hips immediately and immediately get back up to speed. So there is advantages there too with how he plays the game. But again, if you're looking for that elite makeup speed and just overall, just speed, I guess the 4.5, not terrible. Like, it's so funny because like even if he ran 4.49, the 0.01 seconds, doesn't it just sound so much better? It's not bad at all. 4.5 is fine. It's well within the range of being still a very good corner in the league. You just wish he had that like 4.41, 4.3, something like that speed. He just does not have that in his game, and it does show up on tape as well. He will overplay a little bit at the top of the route. Strong route runners give him trouble at the line of scrimmage with their releases. And then he does need to have a better understanding of what depth to play at in off coverage. You'll see him get a little bit too deep at times, and that's not his game. Unlike Quinyon Mitchell, who can play deep and then just close to the ball because he's got that insane speed, you know, Arnold just doesn't have that. So he needs to play a little bit closer so that he can get up there if needed. Otherwise, he's just allowing some easy completions underneath. But overall, he is a very squeaky clean prospect that is going to be able to come in and compete outside in the slot and just be a very good corner from day one. The fit is immaculate. He hits everything. He's a perfect scheme fit. He would challenge Nixon in the slot. He would challenge Stokes and Valentine on the outside. He's going to start. Like, he is going to start. It's just, do you start him in the slot and have Valentine or Stokes opposite Jair, or do you start him opposite Jair and have Nixon in the slot? That's the only question. He's going to be their number two corner opposite Jair or with Jair in some capacity if he plays in the slot from day one, in my opinion. The final verdict here for Terry Arnold is, how high do you need to get him? Especially knowing, again, that he is sort of the perfect guy for Green Bay based on what they look for, based on their team needs, based on everything. He just fits perfectly. On ESPN's most recent mock draft, they have Terry Arnold going 15 to the Colts and Quinyon Mitchell going 12 to the Broncos. The Ringer has Arnold going 15 to the Colts and Mitchell 8 to the Falcons. NFL Network has Arnold going 11 to the Vikings. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Minnesota's going to move up, but we'll see. And then Quinyon Mitchell going 17 to Jacksonville. If you look at the Rich Hill chart, which is, I think, the best trade value chart out there, let's see where Green Bay can get. If they were to trade pick 25, along with both of their third round picks, That gets you to pick 15. So their first round pick plus their 2/3, that theoretically gets you to about pick 15 in the draft. Pick 25 plus their second round pick, pick 58. So pick 25 plus pick 58 gets you to pick 15 in the draft. Pick 25 plus their first second round pick, pick 41. So 25 plus 41 theoretically gets you to pick 10 and might be able to get you any corner that you want at that point in the draft. Pick 25 plus pick 88, their first third round pick, gets them to pick 19. Pick 25 plus pick 91 gets them to pick 20. So they could get probably as high as 10, as low as 20 if they just want to throw in their late third round pick. That's sort of the range that you're looking for. Here to me is the sweet spot for all of this. If Green Bay wants one of these corners, this is the scenario that happens in my opinion. You get through 1 through 14 and it's very quarterback, wide receiver, offensive line, edge rusher heavy. And those corners do not go in the top 14. 15 comes along and Indianapolis takes one of them. I think they take Quinyon Mitchell, knowing how they value the corner position and what they like in their athletes. I think they take Quinyon Mitchell at 15. And then you have Terrion Arnold there at 16. That's the scenario. That is the scenario for the player in this draft. If that were to play out, you have Seattle picking at pick 16, a team that Green Bay has traded with a lot, and a team that loves moving down in the draft. They do it a ton, especially early in the draft. So you have a known relationship with John Schneider in Seattle at pick 16 with the guy that you want most on the board, and you have probably the choice of giving up pick 25 plus both of your thirds, or pick 25 and your second round pick, pick 58. Make your choice, or maybe you just give Seattle the choice. Which one do you want? Do you want both the thirds? Do you want our second? And then of course they get pick 25 as well. And if they do that, and if he's there at pick 16, Seattle just drafted Devin Witherspoon last year. I don't think they're going to draft another corner that early. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. But that to me is the scenario. No corners 1 through 14. Colts take Mitchell at 15. Arnold is sitting there at 16. Packers call up Seattle. They work out that deal for either their second or their 2/3. They get the deal done, and Terrion Arnold is a Green Bay Packer at pick 16. That's the scenario. So my final thoughts here, Nate Wiggins, probably not in play for Green Bay just based on his weight. That's not something they do. You never know with Goot. He's always willing to throw a curveball every once in a while, but Wiggins does not seem their type. Quinyon Mitchell, complete Packers type, a little bit more of a projection here, fitting in Jeff Hafley's defense, but he projects to fit very well in the defense. But again, it is a little bit more of that projection. I just think he probably has the better chance of going in the top 15 picks, and I don't think Green Bay is quite that aggressive to go and get him prior to Indy taking him at 15, if that is the direction that Indianapolis does in fact go with. I don't think they go aggressive to get up to 14 or above. Indy probably not super excited about trading down with a team that might take one of those corners. So again, pick 16 is sort of that sweet spot, and that's where Terrion Arnold comes in. If he does get to 16, if Green Bay is interested, if they do like him as much as I think they're going to like him, pick 25 plus pick 58 or pick 25 plus their 2/3 with Seattle, pick 16, Terrion Arnold's your guy, and that's how it could potentially come to fruition. And I'll say it one more time. If you told me today that Green Bay traded up in the draft, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, that's it. Those are my two guys. I don't think there's anyone else that makes a ton of sense. That's going to do it for me today. Let me know in the comments below what your thoughts are on my proposal here. Would you do it? Would you trade 25 and 58 to go and get one of these corners? Would you trade 25 and the 2/3 to go get one of these corners? Or are you more apt to just stay at pick 25 and see if somebody else is there? Maybe DeJean is there at pick 25. Maybe McKinstry is there at pick 25 and you're just more willing to stay there, pick one of those guys and still have those extra picks at your disposal. I understand that direction as well, if that's the way that you want to go. But again, if it is a trade up, I think it's one of those scenarios that we just discussed. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, and Dan Miller. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.